Good morning again. It's a great privilege for me to be here and to be bringing God's word, sharing God's word with us this morning. I'm going to ask that you please keep your Bibles open to the passage which Renee read for us. Today we want to focus on this story which was read for us by Renee. But we actually are not going to be able to understand it without God's help. So why don't we pray and ask God for his help right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you give us your word so that we can know you better. And Father, we thank you for your word that has been read here this morning. Thank you that we can understand it. But Father, we truly need your help to understand this passage the way you want us to understand it. We need you to speak to us this morning. Please speak through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many of you are fishers or like fishing. I know Brother Felix Molenga sells fish. If you want to buy fish, dried fish from Luangwa, he's selling fish. Renee, you like fishing. Felix, you put up your hand. You like fishing. Isaac, others around here like fishing? Right? Lots of us like fishing. We know how to catch fish as well, especially with a line. You throw a hook out into the water, don't you, right? And using the line and the hook, you catch a fish. Am I right? Or a net, but when we fish with a line and they've got a hook on the end. Do you think if we just throw the line out with the hook on the end, we're going to catch something? No. What is missing? The bait. There needs to be some bait on the hook. Maybe a worm, or I don't know what else you put in for bait. Maybe in Shima. Some meat, right? I enjoy eating strawberries. Strawberries with some cream. Very, very nice. I enjoy that a lot. If I put strawberries and cream on the hook, do you think I will catch a fish? I will not catch a fish because the fish don't like strawberries and cream. They like something else. We've got to put something that they like. This morning, I think we're going to see that this story that has been read for us is similar to fishing in this way, in the sense that there might have been some bait on a hook to draw out the people of Ai from their city, so that they could have been snatched by the hook of Israel. The story in the book of Joshua, which was read for us this morning, this is a story about the defeat of Ai. It's a story about judgment that God is bringing upon that city because of their wickedness. But it's also a story about the victory of Israel. Victory in their attack against this enemy who had previously defeated them. They were now, this time, victorious. However, the surprising thing to me in this story actually is the way in which Israel gets victory in this battle. They use a military tactic of deceit. They deceive their enemies, and they ambush their enemies by surprise. Israel was able to lure Ai and all the soldiers out by pretending to be a weak army. That's their bait. That was the worm on the hook, right? They ran away, and they were faking. They were pretending to be defeated. They were pretending to have fear. But then at the key moment, when I was most vulnerable, Israel showed their true strength, which they were hiding. And they ambushed the city, and they overpowered the army, putting them to shame, putting them to death. And finally, they hung their king on a tree or on a pole. to indicate that he is under God's curse. This is the story that we find in the book of Joshua. And this is a story about ambush and Ai being ambushed. Ai is ambushed by Israel. This is what we see in the story. The story is all about ambush and how Israel ambushed Ai. And we know it's a story about ambush because the word ambush is repeated in the story 8 times. Look, if you have your Bibles open at verse 2, verse 4, verse 7, verse 9, verse 12, verse 14, verse 19, verse 21. This word just keeps on being repeated over and over in the story. This story is about ambush. But what is the definition of ambush? I was speaking to someone this week and we were talking about ambush, and he was not familiar with the word. What is ambush? Right, so it's good that we describe what is that word ambush this morning. Ambush means a surprise attack. It's a military term where soldiers would hide away somewhere, and when their enemy approaches, they will pounce on their enemies, surprising them. The enemies don't know that they're there. That's an ambush. They were ambushed. The intention of hiding is so that you can have the advantage of surprise. Now, Ai is ambushed by Israel, and we can see in this story from verse 3. From verse 3, we can see after God instructs Joshua to attack Ai, Joshua chooses a massive army. Look there in verse 3. And he splits this army up into two groups. Two groups. One of these groups is meant to be the ambush group. They're the guys who are going to go and hide away and surprise the enemy. They're the ambush group. The other group is meant to be the decoy. The decoy group. They're going to lead out. They're the worm, right? They're the bait. So in verses 3 to 8, Joshua gives these soldiers of Israel very detailed instructions on how the ambush is meant to be set up, right? How it's going to work. In verse 4, Joshua commands the ambush group to lie in ambush against the city. But Joshua has a tricky plan. He says that while they are waiting in ambush, he and the other group, the decoy group, they are going to approach from the other side. And they're going to pretend to fight, but actually they're going to run away. They're going to pretend to be defeated. And the intention of this decoy group is to lure Ai outside of the city, to lure the soldiers outside of the city so that the ambush group can easily attack the city while the army is out chasing the decoy group, the worm. So the instructions are given to the people. And in verse 9, the setup begins. They actually start putting their plan into action. Look with me at verse 9 and the verses following there. The ambush group goes out at night so they can go and hide behind the city. And the decoy group gets up early in the morning and they go and they pretend, as they planned, to get ready to fight. That's verse 14. The king of Ai took the bait. He and his soldiers rush out to go and fight. And Joshua and the decoy group plan to be beaten and they run away. And the army of Ai, thinking that they're now getting the victory, they chase after this decoy group. And as the Bible says there in verse 17, they are drawn out of the city. Every single man drawn out of the city. They even left the gates open. That's how confident these soldiers were. We are winning. We are defeating. Let's go. Come on. And then comes the devastating ambush. The devastating ambush. Because there is a key point in the story. Verse 18. This is the turnaround point. When Joshua gives the signal that the Lord gives to him. He stretches out his javelin, your Bible might say sword. It's a very similar weapon. Stretches out his javelin toward Ai. And this is the signal to the ambush group, the guys who are hiding. And they rose up and they attacked the open city and they set it on fire. They burned it. Now, the army of Ai were trapped. They were not in their city, and they had the ambush group behind them in their city, and they had the decoy group on the other side who now also turn around and start attacking the army of Ai. They were trapped, they were struck down, and every one of them were killed. They completely destroyed the godless city of Ai. And they killed the king of Ai in a way that shows that God's curse was upon him. This is a story about the defeat and destruction of the godless city and the godless people of Ai. God's curse was upon him. We'll come back to this idea a little bit later on. The story I want us to remember today is a story about ambush. It's a story about a surprise attack where one group was hiding and the other group pretended to attack. Israel ambushed Ai. However, there is a surprise in this story. And to me, this was the most surprising thing. That I was ambushed, not just by Israel, I was ambushed by God. Because it was God who gave the instruction to Joshua to ambush the city. Look with me in verse 2. The last few words of verse 2 in the book of Joshua. God says to Joshua, "Lay an ambush against the city, behind it." Later on, if you read to verse 8, as Joshua is giving instructions about how to set up the ambush, he says in the middle of verse 8, he says, "You shall do according to the word of the Lord." And later, even in verse 27, we can see the same words coming up again. According to the word of the Lord, they ambushed Ai. I was ambushed, indeed. I was ambushed by Israel. But the surprising thing in this story, it was God's idea. It was God who ambushed Ai. Let's keep that thought in our mind. Let's keep our thought in our mind. Here we have God instructing a surprise attack. Instructing the army to look weak when in fact they were strong. Right? And it shouldn't be surprising to us that God would do something like this. Because if we look at the way God throughout history redeemed his people, we can actually see that this is a common pattern for God to present a weak attack or a weak solution to a big problem, and yet that very weakness is its strength. That's what we see God doing in other places. Even if we think back just a little bit in Joshua, to Joshua chapter 6, think about the walls of Joshua. The walls of Joshua, the way God redeems his redemptive plan, God's redemptive plan in history is seen even in the way Joshua and the people of Israel took the city of Jericho. God said to them, walk around the city once every day for 6 days. Just walk. That's all. No weapons. Just walk quietly. On the seventh day, you shall walk around 7 times. I'm sure this is a very intimidating thing to walk around the city. I wonder the people on the walls of the city as they were looking down at the people of Israel walking around. You know, they must have thought, what on earth are these people doing? Huh? Just walking around our city. They've come to inspect. Or what? The people of Jericho had no idea of the surprise that was coming, that God would bring, that on the seventh time, on the seventh day, as they walked around that city, the walls of Jericho fell down. What a surprise. We don't expect walking around the city to cause such a big effect. This is part of God's redemptive plan and a way that God actually shows his power through weak, small things which don't seem very powerful. Think about a few chapters earlier, even in Joshua, when the people crossed the land. They crossed into the land over or through the Jordan River. The walls of Jericho fell, but at the Jordan River, there was a big wall of water, right? God stopped the River Jordan from flowing with what? The feet of those who were carrying the ark. He said to them, just walk into the water, and the river will stop. God showed his power through something that didn't seem to be very powerful. This is the way God works in his redemptive history. Even if we think right back to the book of Exodus, when God brought the people out of Egypt, Moses was leading them. And they were just leaving Egypt. That the Egyptians thought, no, we made a mistake to let them go. Let's go and bring them back. And Israel and all the people, they found themselves up against the shore of the Red Sea. And they were trapped. They had the sea in front of them and they had the Egyptian army behind them. And they were fearful. And God said to Moses, be still and know that I am God. God said to Moses, stretch out the staff in your hand over the sea. That staff did something very powerful. It opened up the waters, right? And the Bible tells us the people of Israel could walk through the Red Sea with a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. And they could walk through on dry ground. Miraculous. God showing his power through something that doesn't seem to be that powerful. But even there in the story of crossing the Red Sea, what did the Egyptians do? The Egyptians decided we're going to chase after them in the sea. And in fact, if you read Exodus chapter 14, and I encourage you to do that after the service when you get home, you'll actually see that it was God's plan to lure Egypt into the sea, like with a bait on a fish hook, to make them chase after the people of Israel. So that when the people of Israel were through, what did God do? He let the waters collapse and in that way destroyed the enemy of Israel forever. God acts in surprising ways. God ambushes. God uses weak things to shame the strong. We see that in the story of Gideon. When Gideon chose 300 soldiers to go up against the massive armies. And yet those 300 soldiers with a clay jar with a torch inside. A clay jar with a torch inside was able to defeat huge, huge armies. What a surprise. We don't expect that. But this is how God works. Think about David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Here we see a small young man, almost a boy, not of any military powers at all. People were laughing, said, what, you think you can put on some armor? No. You're the one who's going to go. He was the only one who had courage, but he wasn't big. Nobody thought he could do it. Goliath was massive. But David was able to defeat Goliath, not in his own strength, in the Lord's strength, because this is how God works in redemptive history. Redemptive history. God's redemptive plan. His plan is to redeem people. We need redemption. We need redemption because of the next point that I would like to deal with, and that is that cursed is everyone. We see God's redemptive plan as he does this by surprise. We don't expect it. But cursed is everyone, is my next point. In fact, I want to start off by looking at the king of Ai, the king of Ai, because he was hung on a tree. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. In the story of the ambush of Ai, we see a very clear setup for what was going to come later on in redemptive history, where Jesus was going to come and die for us on the cross. And in fact, we see this in verse, where is the verse where I is hung on a tree? Let's see, I think it's verse number 29. Thank you, yes. The king of Ai is hung on a tree. Now, this is the sentence which helps us to know that God's curse was on him. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 21, there is a verse there which tells us that anyone who does not obey the words of God's law is under a curse, is under God's curse. Anyone who does not obey God's law is under God's curse. I think turn with me to Deuteronomy. You have to page backwards in your Bible towards the beginning of the book. Just to find the previous book before Joshua is Deuteronomy. And you will find there in chapter 21 the words that I'd like you to see. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 to verse 23. Let me read that for you. If you found it in your Bible, you can follow along. And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, he is to be put to death, and you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a man hanged, a hanged man, is cursed by God. A hanged man is cursed by God. I, the king of Ai, sorry, was hanged on a tree. And this indicates that he was cursed by God. He was under God's curse. Come back with me to Joshua, where we were in Joshua chapter 8. Notice also the similar thing that Joshua took his body down from the tree before evening or at evening. That's in obedience to what God required in Deuteronomy. The cursed man should not hang on the tree overnight because he's under God's curse. The city of Ai and its king were killed and destroyed because they were under God's curse. They were under God's curse because they did not obey God. They were idolaters. They practiced idolatry, idol worshippers. And Israel coming and defeating them in battle was God's punishment. And we see that because Ai is cursed. He was hung on a tree. But not just Ai was cursed. Achan also was cursed. He was cursed because he too was put to death. He was put to death. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God warns the people, and Achan was there. I'm pretty sure Achan was there when Deuteronomy was written, or when it was spoken. These are the words in Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will send curses on you until you are destroyed and perished because of the evil you have done. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies if you don't obey God's law. That's the curse, the blessings and curses that we have. Achan was killed. He was stoned. He was put to fire. In fact, he had a whole heap of stones thrown above him, and that heap remains to the day when Joshua was written. Achan is cursed. Ai is cursed. The king of Ai is cursed. But not only Achan, even Adam and Eve, right in the beginning of the garden, the beginning of the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, we see Adam and Eve also were cursed because they did not obey God. After they sinned, God pronounced a series of curses in the Garden of Eden. And one of these curses, God cursed the ground. And this had a huge implication. The curse that God put on the ground had a huge implication for you and for me and for all of Adam's descendants. This is the curse. You will return to the ground because you were made from it. You are dust, and to dust you will return. This is when death entered the world. This is when death entered the world. The curse that God brought into this world because of man's sin was death. We all will die. Because Adam and Eve sinned against God, death entered the world. And from that moment on, all their descendants were under the same curse, the curse of death. Adam was under God's curse. He died. Achan was under God's curse. He died. Ai's king was under God's curse. He died, hung on a tree. We are also under God's curse. We will also die. Because we have also sinned. We are cursed because we sinned against God. Not just because Adam sinned against God, but because we sinned against God. This morning we had time of confession. We confessed that we have indeed sinned. In Romans chapter 5, we're told that death came into the world because of Adam. Death came into the world because of one man. But also, death came to all people because all people have sinned. This is the teaching of the Bible. We all have sinned. Romans 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death. This is how the Bible teaches. We are all under God's curse. I move on to God's hidden ambush. God's hidden ambush. We were under God's curse, under the power of death. We meant to die. Now, God had a plan for victory. God had a plan to deal with this problem that all people will die because of their sin. God wasn't happy about the fate of all people. He had a secret plan, a hidden ambush. And this plan actually has always been in place. From the time God created the heavens and the earth, God had this plan. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, this was the plan from the beginning. It was the plan from the beginning. And actually, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, getting to 1 Corinthians is a bigger challenge than getting to Deuteronomy. You've got to go to the New Testament. It's kind of like in the back of the book. 1 Corinthians. There's a 1 and 2 Corinthians, but Corinthians comes immediately after the big book of Romans. So it should be easy enough to find. If you find Romans, keep going, and then you'll find Corinthians. We want 1 Corinthians. It's the very first part of Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see in verse 7 something. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this: we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages. Before the ages. God decreed what? A secret and hidden wisdom. A secret and hidden wisdom of God. And you know, if you keep reading verse 8, it says that none of the rulers of this age understood this wisdom. Because if they had understood it, they would not have done what? Would not have crucified Jesus. Like the king of Ai and the army of Ai, if they understood there was an ambush, they would not have left their city and chased after the decoy. If the rulers of this age had understood this hidden wisdom of God, they would not have crucified Jesus. The death for Jesus on the cross is God's ambush over evil and death, over the power of death. Because we were under God's curse and we were meant to die, Jesus became a man. He came like us. He came to die. The book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, tells us he came to die as a ransom for many. He came to die in our place. He came to die our death. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was hung on a tree. Deuteronomy says, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Now we're going to go to another book in the Bible. Keep paging from Corinthians towards the back of your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians is immediately after the second book of Corinthians. So if you were in Corinthians, just keep paging until you get to Galatians. And this passage was read to us earlier on by Sister Dinas. Galatians chapter 3. From verse 10, we actually see some very, very helpful things to help us understand what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus was crucified. He was hung on a tree. Look with me there, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. Christ became a curse for us. He took our curse of death upon himself. And in this sense, this was God's ambush. I'm sure the devil and evil and death were all very excited when Jesus came and died. I think they thought this was a great victory when Jesus was nailed onto the cross by the Jewish people. His own people putting him on the cross, putting him to death. In fact, there were two things happening. Jesus was dying, and it was God's people who were killing him. This must have been a very happy time for the devil. He thought, you know, I have managed to get God's people to kill God's own son. This, if the devil knew, which he didn't know, God's secret and hidden wisdom, he wouldn't have been happy about that plan. Because what he didn't know is that God had a very powerful secret weapon hiding. That Jesus had the power to conquer death. Jesus had the power to conquer death. The Bible tells us that Jesus became a curse for us. He took our death upon himself. Jesus was hung on that tree. He became a curse for us. He redeems us from the curse of the law, so that we can receive the promise that was given to Abraham, the promise of the Spirit, so that we can receive the promise of life. Death was not able to hold Jesus. And this is the secret ambush of God, which he kept hidden for all ages until it happened. Jesus took away the sting of death. He took it away. Death can no longer hold you who trust in Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 11, he says, whoever believes in me, though he dies, will live forever. He shall never die. Faith in Jesus, the one who conquered death, is what gives you the power to live forever. And this is the kicker. It's not only Jesus who gets to conquer death. We who believe in Jesus, we also get to rise from death. You know, the devil and death and evil thought, huh? We've got all people now. They're all sinners. They're all under God's curse. They all will remain with us now because they are sinning. And now we even have Jesus, the Son of God. Even he is included with us in death. We are in the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness. We are the ones of death. Jesus is now with us, with all his people also. But what does Jesus do? He shows he has power over death, and he rises up from death, the firstborn from the dead, so that those who believe in him likewise can rise from the dead. Just imagine how trapped Satan and evil and death must have felt when they started to see those they thought they had under God's curse, those who were meant to die, are now, because of their faith in Jesus, escaping their grasp. Death has been defeated because of God's ambush, God's secret hidden power, which was kept hidden until it was revealed. My last point here this morning: Christ ransoms us from the domain of darkness. Jesus has come to give us life. Jesus has come to be a ransom for many. In his death, Jesus died in your place. He paid the price to set you free from God's curse. He gave himself to be killed in our place. And the Bible says that while we live in our sin, we are under the dominion of darkness, of evil spirits, of evil desires, and of sin. This is the domain of darkness in which we live without Christ. In the domain of darkness. I'm going to read a verse to you. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. Don't turn there. Just listen to these words from the book of Colossians. He, that is Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just let that settle in. Through the death of Christ, you have been transferred out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son. God has got the final victory through his ambush, his surprise attack of being able to rise Jesus from the dead. He has transferred you out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. What's left for us to do? We've seen what happened to Ai as it was punished because of its wickedness. We've seen what's happened to all who have sinned, punished for their wickedness. And you too. I too. If we remain in sin and don't trust in Christ, we too suffer the same fate. What is left for us to do? Give more money to church? Do more righteous things? Go to growth group? No. The only thing that's left to do is trust in God's surprise attack. Trust in Christ, who became a curse for you, so that you don't have to die, but you can be transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful plan of salvation, that while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, died for us, so that we can have life. Thank you, Jesus, that we have life because you conquered death and you are alive seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And thank you, Father, that one day we too will be with you in heaven forever. Thank you that you invite us into your kingdom and you transfer us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of your Son. We worship you today. Amen.